Welcome to A Better Lifestyle. I am your host, Richard, and I will be with you throughout this journey. This show is here to empower individuals to do more in life professionally. You will find a variety of topics that will help you to be more productive and more successful. So join me and the professionals from different industries as we bring education and knowledge for more success. Hi, everybody. My name is Richard Lesperance, and I go by the name of My Man Richard. Welcome to A Better Lifestyle. Today, we're having a roundtable on AI in the business world. There were supposed to be more people. We're supposed to be four, but two people had to cancel. But we're still going to do a good job anyways. Please, I have two people with me. So I have Sam and Sardar. I don't know if I'm saying your name right.
Yep, Sardar, yep.
Okay, so if you guys could please introduce yourself in about a minute or two, what you do and how long have you been doing it, and we'll get started. So I'll start with Sam.
Sure. Hi, everyone. Sam Drawshack. I'm the CEO, or the Chief Process Scientist, co-founder of Truval. And we do process science-based software solutions to help people do their own process management work. I've been doing process science work for 15 years. That includes a lot of technology, automation, artificial intelligence types of projects. So I've been in this space for a long time, and I'm a pure process guy, either software, consulting, or otherwise. So I'm happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Okay. Sardar?
Yep. Hey, my name is Sardar, and I'm the co-owner of Japton. We are a mobile app development agency, been in business for 10 years, and we specialize in building mainly mobile applications, but we can build any kind of software, that's custom built software. Have a team of over 120 people, and we've been in business for over 10 years now. I'm based out of Miami, Florida, and I'm an immigrant. I moved here to the U.S. 9 years ago, and been living in different states. Been in Florida for the last 3 years. Before that, I was in New York, California, Massachusetts. So happy to be here and share and discuss things about AI. Yeah.
Okay. How do you guys see the AI world and the business world right now at the moment? We'll start with Sam.
So how I see AI and business generally, it's a very exciting time, certainly. I think I'll start with business. I think business has been digitizing at an exponential rate, meaning that we've been going from being located together in a single office to being a decentralized virtual workforce in a lot of ways. And COVID really catalyzed even a more massive shift to a digitized workforce. And business is generally going much faster with a lot more productivity. There's a lot more options. There's a lot more creativity, connectivity. It's really a revolution, honestly, is how I would describe it. And as far as artificial intelligence, I think artificial intelligence has been increasing in complexity, increasing in its capability to support different business processes. So I usually think about AI as becoming a more integral part of business and part of doing the work and helping operating models continue to become more productive over time. So AI to me is a tool, and it's becoming a more advanced and valuable tool, but it's really just part of this digital revolution that business is going through generally. And that would be how I would sum up both at a high level.
Sardar?
I mean, I agree with what Sam says. It's integrating more and more into our lives. But I'm surprised with how it's slower than I thought in terms of adoption. I'd say, the other day I was surprised how so many people still don't use it in their regular activities, even something like ChatGPT that has really integrated into my life and many people I know. But I realized I was in this tech bubble that, Everybody I know uses it, and I thought everybody in the world uses it. But when I stepped out of my own circle and I saw some of my friends who are not in tech, that don't use any AI tools at all in their daily activities, I was pretty surprised. But then I realized, yeah, that's like probably majority of the consumers to this day still aren't adopted. So I still see some longer process than I thought in terms of its adoption. But obviously, yeah, like Sam said, it's inevitable in terms of, like, you know, it coming and getting into every industry, every aspect of our life.
I'm surprised you're saying that, because I thought ChatGPT, at least most people would be
using. They've tried it, but not like in a way that nobody, like most people aren't near being a power user, right? Like I consider myself a power user. Like I don't use Google anymore. You know, I only use like GPT with browsing or regular GPT or DALL-E and all these things. And many people don't even know GPT-4 exists. They use the 3.5 if they use it rarely, you know. And there's a huge, huge difference right now with GPT-4, some of its beta features at least, you know, and 3.5. And those who even do use 3.5, they don't use it, I think, as often, you know.
Would you like to add something on that, Sam?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I agree with that. I think, you know, from my perspective, and I'm more on the business side than the technology side, adoption is difficult. I mean, you've had a lot of innovative technology in the last 10, 20 years, and a lot of companies I consult with, the vast majority are still stuck in the 90s in terms of their enterprise systems. And I think that's pretty common. And it's one of those things that when you do automation work and you do analysis necessary to do automation successfully, AI is a powerful tool, but it's a very powerful change. You're talking about replacing complex processes, replacing possible staff members. This is not a decision that companies make lightly. And even Sardor was mentioning on the personal level, most people just aren't early adopters. I would say that ChatGPT is still in its very early stages of being released to the marketplace. And we're along, I'd say we could be several years before it's commonplace for just regular users. And I mean, we could be 5-10 years before you start seeing it used in business in any appreciable manner.
So Sardor, you were talking that you're using ChatGPT. So how do you use like AI besides ChatGPT? How do you use AI in your life and in your business?
There was this meme I was seeing the other day where on LinkedIn somebody posted how if ChatGPT API goes down, like 99% of all the AI startups are like screwed, right? And there's this video of this guy like being like paranoid and saying, "Hey, we're cooked, we're done, we're not no longer in business. We got to pivot to Web3 or whatever next hype thing is," right? So what that meme showed is a reality, because the reason it went viral is because 99% of products right now are just wrappers of GPT API, right? So whatever products we're using, the odds are most likely it's using the GPT API. So let's take even Fathom AI that I use, you know, pretty much every day on all my calls. I add Fathom AI and it uses the GPT API on the back end, right? So it is a different product. Not GPT Tel, but it's still powered by GPT, right? So that's one. Other than that, I use Superhuman AI, again, powered by GPT API. What else? I use some video photo editing tools I think my team uses to edit my podcast interviews and my posts on social media, which are probably also powered by DALL-E, which is powered by, created by OpenAI, same company. So, Different products, but they all tie back to OpenAI.
What about you, Sam?
Well, I guess it depends on what you consider AI in this conversation, right? Because you could say ChatGPT is the latest and most complex form of artificial intelligence available. But I mean, I could say Gmail is artificial intelligence. There's a lot of different programs. Anything that helps you automate decision making and has any sort of basic ability to accept logic and act on it is a form of automation and artificial intelligence in a way. So you could say old gen AI I'm using for everything that I do, right? Every application I use, every SaaS process where I can train it to automate certain functions, I use that for most of my business. And you know, most of my clients are trying to use that for their businesses. So the whole nature of the work that I do is helping people improve their process models using available software solutions, which in a way is all forms of either basic to complex AI. So if you're looking at it that way, and I think it's important to mention that, because artificial intelligence is not just ChatGPT. We're all using a ton of automation and through artificial intelligence. But for me, if we're answering like the most advanced forms of AI that people are talking about today, I use ChatGPT lightly to do research, to help me with complex writing assignments. But in the consulting world, I'm not really seeing it being used very much. Only an edge case where I see it used by clients to do kind of like some of the things Sardar was saying, helping with social media, helping with creating content, helping generate ideas or templates just to start things. But me, I'm not using that technology extensively right now in my operating model.
Did you guys or had trouble, had challenges implementing AI in your businesses, Sador?
Not much. I mean, we did form a AI team that mainly is, so we launched earlier this year AI infusion as a service, which basically builds AI products or adds an AI feature to existing products for our clients. So for that, we formed a separate AI team, and they were able to pretty quickly figure out how to use and build with AI, right? So as a matter of fact, even yesterday, there was a Halloween party on Tuesday, actually 2 days ago, in Miami Tech Halloween, and we were one of the sponsors, and we built a AI avatar for this party that could create a horror story about your company if you told the AI about what you do and what your company does. So it was like a fun kind of entertainment type of bot, right? So built that for the event in less than a week, And that's the type of things that that's like a simple example, but we're also building something like complex, also like currently working on this project that's going to be a travel app. It's like all-in-one travel app powered by AI that's going to help you create an itinerary, book all your travels, and basically replace a travel agent with this one application through AI, right? So that's a pretty complex project, but our team is building that. So I would say no, I don't think we've had challenges implementing, not only for ourselves, but also for our clients.
What about you, Sam?
Yeah, on my side, I wouldn't say we've had trouble, but I also would say we're not using advanced AI applications in terms of the requests that we're getting from clients. So my client base, a lot of times they're looking for advanced forms of process management consulting, and then I'll talk about the Truval side in a second, which is software solutions. But for the business side, people aren't asking for AI typically right now, at least in the markets that I'm in, which is to say they want cost reduction, they want sustainable changes in their business, they want to improve their processes and manage them better. And there's not really a strong use case to bring, ChatGPT or any of OpenAI's integrations or products into that space right now, mostly because of adoption challenges. And also it's just not a research-oriented type of ask. But I would say on the Truval side, some of the AI that we're trying to look at into helping with our applications and some of the things we're building, it's very light use cases right now, but honestly, it's not been complicated either. In terms of if you understand the use case for it, it's just like plugging in other types of tools. If you have software development capability and you have the ability to understand how to plug into these tools, it's just as complex as any other use case we are integrating with available software technology, or at least that's been what we found in our experience.
Mm. Do you guys spend a lot of education on AI, like learning? I'll start with Sador.
Do we spend time learning, like for ourselves? You mean within the company as well?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, on a personal level, I do. Like I said, one of the reasons also I don't use almost at all like any Google search anymore is because I'm trying to do everything through AI. To be in that kind of early adopter mode, to know what's going on and how this works, to really reset my mind into like starting everything with AI. But when it comes to the team, yeah, we also have certain, like our team was a little hesitant initially and a little, kind of, hesitant toward like using AI, for example, like the Copilot, right, in coding. And we do strongly encourage our team to do that. We do like educational seminars for our team on how to use it, right? We also run a weekly event called GP Tuesday, where we invite guest speakers to our office to talk about AI and the latest changes in AI. And there's different experts that come in that are building AI products. And yeah, we record and cast that to our team to also educate them as well on this. Yeah, so there's different efforts to do that.
What about you, Sam?
Yeah, on my side, there's not a lot of structured education going on for AI. We try to stay up on the best tools and understand what the trends are and what's going on, because everything equates to a process capability ultimately. And we're always trying to understand how we can help people understand how to increase their process capability. But in terms of running trainings or anything like that, I don't think it's as relevant for us right now. So besides some light learning, we're not doing anything too formal.
So obviously AI is going to be a disruption, obviously, in a lot of industries. How do you think, what's your guys' take on the disruption of AI right now in the business world? Sador.
Disruption of AI, or you mean like disruption of different industries because of AI?
Well, it's going to touch like if you're in the marketing, you know, or I don't know if you're in sales and, you know, like you guys were saying, you know, some people are not using AI at the moment, but the disruption that it's going to cause in the future in the business world and in our lives. How do you guys see that? What's your take on that?
I mean, there's a lot of speculation. I it'd be hard to predict how it's gonna be. You know, we could all say like the best, could take the best case scenario, worst case scenario. I'm more positive. I think there's gonna be more like kind of human AI collaboration type of work rather than complete replacement. I really like the recent campaign I saw by Fiverr. I was in New York City and they had this huge banner up with a real person's face, like one of their freelancers on Fiverr. And this lady, she had a quote saying, AI took my job, with a huge, you know, headline like that. AI took my job. And then below that, it said, to another level, right? So it was a very cool ad, I thought. It was super cool marketing because it basically shows that, hey, we still have humans. We still have humans that are working. Yes, they're using AI, but instead of taking their jobs, it's taking their jobs into another level. Meaning she's like, as a copywriter, I think she was a copywriter, she's more productive now. You know, as a designer, you're also more creative because you can brainstorm with DALL-E, you know? So I don't see it completely being like replacing humans, at least not in the foreseeable future, but rather enhancing humans' abilities in the workforce.
Sam?
Yeah, I would also agree with, well, I don't want to put words in Sardor's mouth, but it sounded like it wasn't some massive disruption that we're expecting. And if that's what you're saying, I'm in agreement. I'm not seeing AI as creating some massive market disruption because, well, and let me qualify. AI, again, I look at AI with a more long history because we've already been creating simple AI for many years, and it's already been changing jobs, right? It's been changing the marketplace. If you look back to when self-driving car technology was first discussed as replacing driving jobs, I mean, it's been happening very, very slowly, but only if your expectation was it was going to happen overnight and be this massive disruption where a million people in the transportation lose their jobs or something like that. The reality is adoption is slower, it's more complex, and the market kind of evolves in waves. And what I would say is, I don't think we're going to see a massive disruption based on the newest AI technology I've seen, any more so than we have from all the last iterations of technology, again, maybe since the early 2000s. I think jobs are going to change. People are going to lose their jobs. I would say, you know, outsourcing was a massive disruption in some ways when people were sending huge parts of their companies over to other companies in other countries to get labor arbitrage. I don't even think we're going to see that level of automation yet using AI tools. So I think it's going to be a slow burn. I think we're going to see a lot of complex use cases continue to increase that AI can support people. But I agree with Sardor that we're more going to probably see people's jobs being supplemented by AI and a lot of the tedious work they have to do disappearing, like maybe going from a 30 or 40 hour work week down to like a 35 or a 30 hour work week. But is that going to make people lose their jobs in the next few years? I doubt it.
I agree. And adoption is slower than we think, right? Speaking of outsourcing, you mentioned a good point. I think you were talking about offshoring, right? In that manner. It's a very interesting thing. Like for us, like we have almost all of our development team is offshore. They work from our office, but they're offshore, right? We have that arbitrage opportunity as well. But the thing is, again, I'm in this bubble where I offshore and all of my, you know, other business peers, they offshore. But somebody was recently telling on a podcast that majority of companies in the US still haven't tried offshoring their labor, you know, even though this has been around like for, you know, this industry has been around for a bit, you know, and companies are still hesitant. They haven't tried this, even though it's available. And a lot of times you can find better labor offshore than here in the US or wherever you are in the first world country. But there's that barrier, right? Why? Because, well, they do it old school. They do it the way that they're used to. The math makes sense to them. So they're not looking to cut that or change that. But yeah, I think it's, you know, 10 years from now, we'll find ourselves being like, well, we were afraid. Now what? Right. So yeah, there's been efficiency created. But look at that Fortune 500 company that still hasn't even tried all of these tools, right? So yeah, I completely agree with that.
Hmm. Do you see any downsides in AI, like things to look for, like some danger or something?
No, not me personally.
Yeah, no, me either. I mean, there's this futurist vision that everyone wants to talk about where all of a sudden general artificial intelligence is actually created. And at that point, it's basically the technological singularity, meaning that at which point we won't be able to predict what happens after that because we'll immediately become an inferior species on this planet. So if you're talking about that piece, do I see it happening soon? No. And up until that point, it doesn't matter. Everything is just advanced forms of complex tooling. So when you look at it that way, it should hopefully not be as scary, right? I mean, there is a scenario where we create a being more intelligent than us. I believe it can happen. And when it does, fine. But there's not really anything that I'm seeing right now that's coming close to that. So really, we're just talking about the onset of the next iteration of advanced tools. And it just takes strong process work to integrate those tools. And companies may or may not do it. And that's really, you know, I don't see it being any more scary than that.
So, Sador, you don't see no downsides, no?
I agree with this as well, what Sam said. I think, yeah, we are. It's not completely out of reach or out of possibility that singularity will happen and that, you know, that we'll be inferior species. That I'm not saying it's never going to happen either, but not in the foreseeable future and not in the, if it does happen, then there's nothing we can do, right? So like for the foreseeable future, from, you know, I think there's a lot of advantage to be taken from that. Even in the short run, there's so much opportunity. I think like initially I was kind of in a stealth mode with like creating a lot of these like wrappers for GPT, even, you know, thinking that everybody's going to do them. But even still, there's so much opportunity in there. So like, I think in the foreseeable future within our lifespan, I think no significant threat is going to happen. I'm more afraid about, you know, if anything, about human intentions and like kind of the evil side of humans that are going to use this technology to do something bad, which may happen. I mean, we've seen some cybersecurity attacks previously in the world where I think in 2016, there was a massive attack by this Lazarus group that disrupted a lot of these hospitals in the UK, in the US, FedEx was disrupted, a lot of things. But these were done by humans, right? Again, like machines didn't autonomously do any of that. This was all done by humans. I think it's going to enhance the abilities of both the good and bad people, right? So, which, if anything, yeah, there might be a little threat in that because like the bad people can now do more things at scale, right? But so can the protectors, right? So can sounds like a superhero movie, but you know what I mean.
Well, I just wanted to say that's it's an important point to make, right? If you're asking, do you see any bad things coming with AI? Every tool has good and bad, to Sardar's point. And I think, you know, if you had asked me when the internet was coming out, do you think that people could use this for evil? Of course they can. That was the same thing when we invented the gun, when we invented antibiotics. I mean, it's one of those things, every advance in history, science or technology, it's not that it has any sort of morality to it, the thing itself. It's the people who are using it for whatever they want. So again, advanced forms of artificial intelligence, it's not going to take on a will of its own anytime soon. And that's why I think that's the question behind the question that we answered first. But if you're asking, do I think bad things are going to happen with it? Of course they will, but there will be, you know, lots of good things too.
Any new trends that you guys are aware of concerning AI and the business world? We'll start with Sador.
I mean, it looks like the AI itself is the trend right now. So anything that has an AI touch becomes a trend all of a sudden, right? There's a lot of memes right now around that of like you can like sprinkle a little bit of AI into anything and then it becomes a new hot trend. But I am bullish on generative AI, which is what the entire hype is originating from, right? So like truly generative AI, not those products again that claim to be generative AI that aren't actually, but something that I think in the content creation space, I think there's huge opportunity, and I think there's going to be a big trend in generative AI and content creation. Like if you're able to create content at scale with deepfake, for example, right? Deepfakes are, I think, is a big industry that's going to be very interesting to watch out for, because like even the Hollywood strike, when they were discussing the end resolution on the Hollywood strike, right, when the actors and everybody went on strike and they weren't performing, they weren't going on shows, the last discussion they had, they did discuss AI, and they did agree in Hollywood that they're not going to use AI for replacing humans, right? Because it is already possible. I already personally know somebody who works at a company that does deepfakes, and they do it very, very well, like insanely well. You could replace it. Like you couldn't tell it was not me talking right now. I could be a deepfake on this call right now, right? So I think that one is huge. And it will be, I think, a very regulated space, because there's so much unethical stuff you can do with it. And there's so many ways that it can go wrong, especially in a digital world. I mean, look at Goldie's Zoom calls, right? I had like 7 meetings today and all of them were on Zoom. And technically I could have been a deepfake, right? Or I could have been hacked and had a deepfake talk on my behalf, right? So I think that one aspect, one industry, a sub-industry within generative AI that I'm seeing a big trend in, I think, or like an upcoming trend in.
Sam,
and for my No, Sardar touched on all of them. I think the trends of note, because generative AI has created such an intense buzz, and it's such a powerful iteration of what came before it. I think he mentioned all the things that are on my mind, but other than that, in terms of his business in the business world or what the trend is, I mean, my honest appraisal is that even generative AI is right now kind of just a fad, and people are excited about it, and then they're going to try to tinker on how they get it into their business, and they're going to realize there's not a lot of significant application for the larger operating models out there that are taking on like the lion's share of business. When you talk about business, let's say the Fortune 500 or even the Fortune 1000, I doubt even a fraction of their operating models will be served by generative AI or any of the most advanced forms of AI that exist, you know, in terms of how they do business. And if you think about it that way, it's going to be a while. Just like, you know, a lot of, I'll relate it to big data, because that wave kind of already rolled over. When big data first came out and people were talking about being able to collect these huge big data sets and analyze all of this data, everyone invested in these huge departments, and there wasn't as much of a return as they thought, being able to measure everything and take in these huge data analysis projects. Now, years later, it ended up, all the work around it advanced the entire field of data analytics. And I think that's what a lot will be happening here. I think the excitement will get people engaged with the technology, and they'll be able to see the capability, and we'll see some real application probably several years from now. So I think it's really fascinating. And I think, especially, you know, Sardar talking about the use cases where he's already building real applications that people are using, I think we're going to start seeing it, and the public and businesses will start seeing it, and we'll eventually start working it into scalable, impactful applications for larger use cases. But I think it's pretty far down the road.
I'm gonna ask a question you guys don't have to answer, but I just wanted to ask. You guys are business people. Have you guys invested in AI? like in stocks or whatever?
I'm actually an angel investor in Fathom AI. But I did it before the whole AI hype. It was last year. So, but yeah, that's one company I'm an angel investor in. Yeah.
Okay. Sam? Yeah.
So for me, I am I'm invested fully in Truvel, which is my own company right now. I haven't had a lot of extra money to invest in other people's companies at the moment, but we are using some very more basic artificial intelligence to kind of power our products. But that's as far as I can say that my investment goes personally.
No, I was just asking the question because I remember in the early 2000s, the tech bubble, and now we have some people say that we have the AI bubble. So that's why I was asking the question. Any last words in regards to everything we talk about, AI and the business world, the future, where everything is going, and where we are, and where we are at the moment, Sador?
No, I think we touched on really interesting points. I think it's important to adopt and be in the product, not be overwhelmed, and try to use these tools that are available to your advantage, while being skeptical of some that are just not very useful. There's a lot of just kind of noise, but if you find a good tools, good tech stack, some of these tools I use, Fathom AI or the GPT plugins, there's some really good plugins for PDF reading and things like that. I think it can really save up some time. I think there's already an opportunity for people to save up at least anywhere from 2 to 5 hours a week of their work, of their mundane work. So I think it's, if you're not, then you're missing out on this. But yeah, that's what I'd recommend. And then just kind of see and go with the flow, not be too scared, and stay optimistic for the future.
Sam?
Yeah, I completely agree. I think we've covered a lot of the answer already in this episode. I encourage people to have a very grounded and practical view of this technology. I think that there's a ton. I echo what Sardor said about it's already able to save me time. I think it could save everyone time with a little bit of creativity if they just look at their processes and think of how they can use advanced forms of artificial intelligence to help them, but just automation in general. We're really just talking about automation. And I would just encourage everyone to understand that automation is really just a form of delegating. You can delegate to a person, you can delegate to a robot, you can delegate to an artificial intelligence. You just want to be always delegating in your life so that you can scale and become more productive. And I think there's no reason to be scared of artificial intelligence more than we've been scared of any other amazing tools that have developed, since the turn of the century, honestly.
Mm. Where can people find you guys on social media and the internet? I see Sador has a few links there. So where, Sam, where can people find you on social or the internet?
Yeah, I need to ask AI how I can make a cool panel like Sardor has, so it has all my information.
Yeah, this is an AI tool, by the way. It's called Wormly. Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, for me, you can find me Sam Drawshack. I'm the only one on the internet. So if you type in my name, you can find me on LinkedIn. You can find me at sam@truvel.com. But honestly, if you really want to see what I'm up to, come to truvel.com and sign up for early release of our products. We are truvle.com. And that's the easiest way to get me. Social media, I apologize. I don't know my handle right off the top of the bat for the company. I think it's Truvel Business on Instagram. And then we're just Truvel on LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm. Sador, I know people could see a little bit, but if you could just mention it anyways.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. I'm most active on LinkedIn. So again, I'm not the only one on the internet. My name is, pretty, common in my culture. Yeah. I'm from Uzbekistan, but, if you type me in, I'm probably going to be the first result on Google. So my first and last name, Sador Akhmedov, and you can find me on LinkedIn, Instagram, TikTok, I think, all social media pretty much, but I'm most active on LinkedIn. So if you want to reach out, I'm happy to connect on LinkedIn.
All right. Thank you guys for being here, even though we weren't a full group, but you guys did a great job. I hope everybody found some value in that episode. So on that note, thank you everybody for taking the time to listen to the podcast. Welcome to A Better Lifestyle. My name is Richard L'Esperance, and I go by the name of My Man Richard. I was with Sador. What's your last name again? I don't want to mess. Mirov?
Akhmedov, yes.
Oh, okay. And I was with Sam Droshek, right?
That's right.
All right. So thank you, guys. And we'll see you on the next episode. Bye, everybody.
Thank you for listening. If this is your first time listening to the podcast and you like it, please don't forget to subscribe at the end. Thank you and see you next time.